Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to Connecting Faith. Great to have you tuned in. We are excited about today's program. In fact, I have a guest full of friends in around the microphones. We're going to have a great discussion, and I want to encourage you to stay tuned for that. We do want to just talk again, as we have been regularly here for the last week or so, about Angel Tree. And about the wonderful outreach that is, where we, as a listening family, have the opportunity to reach a child with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parents. You heard yesterday's program. If you missed it with Jim Liske from Prison Fellowship, I encourage you to go online to myfaithradio.com and click on our show page, and you can hear the link, and you'll hear a great story and testimony there as well about the wonderful work of Angel Tree's ministry through Prison Fellowship. There are, over 2.5 million children who have an incarcerated parent. And we are privileged to help stand with Angel Tree and see that these children don't get left behind. In fact, today's story is about a daughter whose father remains in prison. And she has been a recipient of Angel Tree over the years. And well, just listen to the story and then think about how you can be involved in supporting this great ministry.
Christina doesn't remember a time when her father wasn't in prison.
My name is Christina Allen. I'm 24 years old. My father was incarcerated when I was 3 years old for murder, burglary, and arson. And he's not scheduled to get out of prison until 2038.
But Christina did have someone she could count on. A mother who kept the family together and even organized anxious trips to the prison for a little girl to see her daddy.
The times going in to the prison, my focus was more so on going to visit daddy, more so than the strip search and everything else that encompasses those visits, because it's daddy, and no matter what, little girls love their fathers.
Daddy was someone Christina visited twice a year. Mommy was the consistent presence in her life, until just after Christina's 12th birthday.
I didn't realize how big of an impact my father's incarceration played until I was 12 years old and my mom passed away.
Now alone, Christina's thoughts turned to her father in prison.
Because I didn't have him there, I began to build up a lot of hatred in my heart towards him.
As a young teenager, Christina was looking for something, anything she could count on. That first Christmas after her mother died, there was a knock on the door, and she realized there was something that had been consistent for just about all her life. Angel Tree. Prison Fellowship had not missed a single year.
It made me feel special inside. Every year, he would send me a gift through Angel Tree, and it's something I grew to expect every Christmas.
Because she had not been forgotten by Angel Tree, Christina realized she had not been forgotten by God.
I realized that God had never turned his back on me. He was always there to keep me safe from harm. I had to give him back the only thing that I had that was worthy, and that was my life.
What has God done with that surrendered life? Christina earned an MBA by age 22. With her husband, she launched an Angel Tree outreach at their university and their home church. But part of her will always be an Angel Tree kid. She still cherishes her favorite Angel Tree gift, a jewelry box from her dad.
I began to hold items that were near and dear to my heart inside of it. I kept the ID card that I took with me when I visited my dad. I also kept jewelry that my mom gave me before she passed away. To me, it was always a box that I could go to for small but great memories of my mom and my dad. Although they were gone, they still lived in my heart.
For hurting children across America, Angel Tree gifts confirm they are not forgotten. This Christmas, would you help a boy or girl like Christina know there is hope and a future?
Here's how you can help. You can call this number, 855-59-ANGEL. That's 855-592-6435. That's the number to connect with the Angel Tree. Or you can go online. That's more convenient. Go to our website, myfaithradio.com. There's a place to connect right there on the front page, myfaithradio.com. $84 will help reach 6 children with a Christmas gift, the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parents. And we're excited to know that over 250 children have been taken care of already, Ted. So it's been a great start to Angel Tree, and it goes through Christmas Day or Christmas Eve Day. So
praise God. Let's keep that momentum going.
Yeah,
huh?
Awesome. Exciting. So thank you for your generosity in that area. We want to talk about another way in which we can be generous and probably end up being more blessed in what we receive than what we give, because we want to talk today about ministry to international students. We have in our communities, all around the Upper Midwest, wherever Faith Radio signal goes, there are international students around the college and university campuses in increasing numbers. And so we want to find out about that today. I want to introduce my guest in the studio today. It's Kathleen McCosco. Kathleen is a pastor at Stadium Village Church in the Twin Cities. Her and her husband, Chris, work at the campus of the University of Minnesota. Chris is a professor there. And Kathleen helps direct this program for outreach. And in fact, get her to tell a little bit about her story and kind of how she got involved in ministry to internationals. Barbara Federepo is a teacher, a speaker, and a global partner for International Scholar and Family Ministries at Stadium Village Church. And she also is the outreach director for Connections International. It's a nonprofit organization. We've got Glenn Kanagian, who is director of the China Outreach Ministry at the University of Minnesota, and Tim Grunditz, who is executive director of Hospitality Center for Chinese. They're also based in the Twin Cities, and obviously, even though our guests are in the Twin Cities area, this is an area of ministry opportunity all around the nation, really. And so welcome one and all, Tim and Glenn, Kathleen and Barbara. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Let me start with maybe just the why question. Why do we concern ourselves with international students?
Well, it's because God told us to. And if you check out the Great Commission, you'll find out that Jesus said, while going, make disciples. And then in the Old Testament, he says in Leviticus 19:20-33, do not exploit the foreigners who live in your land. They should be treated like everyone else, and you must love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. And so if we want to be good followers of Jesus, we must obey him.
Also, international students really are the future leaders of their home countries in many situations. These, a lot of times, they come from countries where open evangelism is either legal or could be restrictive. And so we have much more freedom to reach out to here in ways than we could in their home countries. But they're also coming here thinking, well, maybe America's a Christian country, and they come here at least curious to learn more about Christianity. So there's a receptivity while they're here.
I'm a firm believer in missions. I've always been excited about missions, but it's so expensive to go overseas. And I support missionaries and love the work that the Lord's doing overseas. But the opportunity we have here with international students is it's monumental. God's sending from every tribe and every tongue all around the world students who are hungry for the love of Christ, who are hungry for connection with Americans. And it's so easy to do. If you want to be a missionary in a foreign country, you have to learn the language, and there's fluency issues that you have. Here, international students speak English, and they want to hear, they want to know what you have. And so I think it's a great opportunity that we have for the nations with international students.
In fact, I think, Barbara, you were even just looking at some statistics. I mean, it's I don't know if you have it in front of you, but there's an increasing number of opportunities.
Yes, there are. The statistics show that there are about 6,000, almost 6,000 undergraduate, graduate, professional, and non-degree students. And basically, locally at the University of Minnesota, that represents about almost 11% of the total 52,000 student population. And we want to remind you also that not only are you dealing with international students and scholars and researchers, but that also includes their spouses, their children, their parents who visit. There's some that come for shorter or for extended periods of stay. And so we also work and influence their lives also.
Well, Kathleen, maybe I'll go back to you and let's talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of helping us understand or develop a profile of the students, because Barbara just said, you know, some come for a short time, others stay a longer time. There's spouses in some cases involved. So just mm-hmm. give us a little perspective. They all speak the language generally?
We're finding that the undergrads these days speak excellent English. Chinese have done a good job teaching their students English. Other countries, Japan, a lot less. Those Japanese students really need help. I ministered to a Japanese woman who married a man that she hardly knew, came the next week to the University of Minnesota, got so depressed that for 3 months, all she could do was lay on the floor. And somehow she found her way to our programs. At that time, I was leading an Introduction to American Life and Culture class out of two churches. One was at Hope Presbyterian in Richfield, and the other was Rose Hill Alliance near Falcon Heights. And they also ministered to international people. And it's such a wonderful way to share who you are as a person, as a follower of Jesus, as an American, to people who are really curious about what makes Americans tick and how they can live here. I was leaving the house today, and a South African student lives with us. We have 7 students, mostly from international countries, living in the large duplex that we live in. And he said this. He said, being an international student, you arrive here, you feel like you've been thrown in the deep end of the water. And if you have an adopted family, it helps you feel attached, accepted, and welcomed.
And most of the students here have to speak English well enough to do studies here, graduate studies and undergraduate. They have to take an exam to see if they're English proficiency before they can be accepted. So that's usually not a big barrier, although there are visiting scholars who are often visiting faculty members. Their English may not be as good, but they're willing to try.
And so that is really one of the ways that we really reach out to many students is by teaching English. And so at Connections International, we have a full array of weekly English classes as well as other Christian ministries. The other thing, we're conversation partners. If you know how to speak English, you're able to befriend students, and they would love to speak with you as conversation partners. So there are many ways to reach them.
Let's get our break in and come back and talk more as we talk about Ministry to International Students. We're going to learn more about it. By the way, maybe you came here as a student from another land, and you settled, perhaps stayed, or you've been involved, had the privilege of being involved and developing some relationships with international students. We'd love to have you join the conversation. Or if you have a question about it, I'm wondering maybe how you personally or your church can get involved. We've got a great panel of experts here in the studio today. You can join us with a phone call at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's more convenient to drop us a note online, you can go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there, and you can send your note that way. I'll come right into the studio, and we'll talk more as we talk about outreach to internationals coming up on Connecting Faith. Past the hour, and today on Connecting Faith, we're talking about outreach opportunities to international students. As you just heard in the last segment, in some cases, at least around the University of Minnesota, they represent perhaps about 11% of the student population, a significant amount. and wherever, whatever campus may be near you, no doubt there's a good number of international students, and all coming with some receptivity to learn more about who we are, and certainly opportunities to share our faith. And we'll get into that in just a moment. I'll reintroduce our guest today. Kathleen McCosco has worked in international student ministry for some time. She's now pastoring Stadium Village Church, which is right adjacent to the University of Minnesota. In fact, her and her husband live kind of in university housing, right? So you are immersed in the well, not university housing, but you're on campus. You're on the campus. Barbara Federepo she's the outreach director for Connections International, and we'll ask her to talk a little bit about that.
Grew up in New York City, New York.
Yes.
Manhattan.
Right, Manhattan. And married an international.
International student. That's how I got involved in international student ministry.
Okay. Tim Grunditz is executive director of Hospitality Center for China. And we'll let you tell a little bit about that as well. And Glenn Canadian is the director of China Outreach Ministry near the University of Minnesota. So I have some folks in China, but other students. And I'm wondering, again, to talk about, you know, the importance of being a friend, you know, the speaking buddy, that it's probably more than a friend. I know, Kathleen, you spent some time living overseas. So mm-hmm. you kind of come from that, having been there as a foreigner in another nation, right?
Right. And when you've experienced some of the pain, then you want to help other people get out of the pain. That was not my first. I was an exchange student to South Africa. And then my husband also studied in Germany, was an exchange student there just after the wall went up. And he also got his master's in London. But when you've experienced living in a place, especially with children, and trying to navigate the educational system, the health system, you know, the legal system, maybe you get a ticket on your car. What do you do? How to buy a car? How to go shopping? When we lived in France, I had to speak to the people at the store to tell them what tomato I wanted. I couldn't just pick it up. They wouldn't like that. So, you know, it was sort of panicky every time I had to go shopping. And it was so nice to have a woman there whose husband was a professor, and she understood about living in a foreign country, to come over every Tuesday and help me sort of undo the mess I had gotten myself into the week before, to help with the children. And one of our neighbors came to visit us one day, and she said, you know, your children are out there in the park speaking like little pigs. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, they're swearing. And I didn't know the French swear words. And so they were picking it up from the children on the street and not knowing what was right and what was wrong. So in one of our classes, is when I teach ESL, I often will teach them which are the words not to use in English.
I liked how you put it, you know, a friend to come and help you undo the mess. Because there are going to be issues, aren't there? Right. No matter what, how well you think.
One of the biggest felt needs is for friendships here. It can be lonely, of course, living in another country and a sense of isolation. I think in the past, sometimes only about 15% of international students got to go into an American's home. Now, I don't know if that's changed or not, but that's a big felt need. A lot of them want to develop a friendship with quote-unquote normal Americans, see what life is like. They like that's the way they learn, and so those friendships mean a lot. There's a quote from Mark Rentz in a Newsweek article. He says, what a great irony it is that we alienate on our own soil the citizens of nations we journey great lengths to influence. The next wave of world leaders is here. Influence the world. Go out and make a foreign friend. Just the simple act of making a friend.
I love how one person can make a huge difference in international relations.
Because, as you said, many future leaders, these are the brightest and best in many ways, right? So.
Yeah. Some of these students, they study things I don't even understand what their degree is in. Sure. So far over my head. But yet they're hungry for a relationship. I echo what my friends here said. They're starving for an acceptance into a culture that is very different from their own. And it's easy to extend some hospitality to our international students, and then it paves the way for the gospel. The international students, they They want love. They want acceptance. They want to know how to buy tomatoes. they need to know how to get a driver's license. They need furniture for their apartment. They have no idea how to do that. Very practical things we can help. And I get asked regularly, so why do you do this? Why do you do this? It is a foreign concept. And I don't just mean overseas American concept. I mean, it is foreign to human nature to give of yourself in the ways that Christians give of themselves. And so by simply having a meal or simply giving some furniture or simply helping an international student go shopping, you have a wide open door into the gospel. It's very exciting.
You know, you did. I wanted to ask, follow up. You talked about, you know, some of these graduate level studies. Does that make sort of common discussion a little more challenging? I mean, are they not interested in talking about maybe their degrees, or it's just you don't have to worry about someone being educated?
They're not going to want to engage you in conversations on their degrees. Usually, it's more of normal life. And
but I have to say, if they get paired with a family where someone in the family is in their area of work, that makes it extra special.
Okay. So let's talk about the pairing of families. So is that something that actually as a ministry, as a church, that you try and do to just or how does that happen?
Yes. Several of our organizations look for host families for students to be individual host families or for special holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. The holidays are the loneliest times for international students because many of them are alone without their families. And so they welcome an opportunity to go to an American home. Also, another thing that's valued is visitation. In some people's countries, it's very familiar, like the African students. It's very common for people to come and visit you at home or to show that you care in that kind of way. And so one of the things that we do is visitation, and an open way to reach out to students is by visiting their home and actually maybe having a Bible study or conversation partner or something like that. And so that's a way that individuals can enter into students' lives.
There are two types of hosting, I'd say. One is just after a student's here that you have them to your house, get to know them, develop a relationship. That could be any time. But there's also a special type of hosting when they first arrive at the University of Minnesota. The university doesn't provide housing for them, so they have to find their own housing. And our ministry, Hospitality Center, and also likewise, will contact families in the Twin Cities to see if somebody would like to host a new arriving student for their first few days to up to a week while that student looks for a regular place to live. And that is super powerful. Mm-hmm. That leads to lasting relationships. And again, we hear from testimonies of Chinese students who become Christians. Often one thing that was very influential, it was the very beginning of it. They had a host who took interest and they wanted, why are they doing this? Why are they showing me this love? And it got them wanting to know more.
About 20 years ago, I signed up with Glenn Kanajian's China Outreach Ministries for Thanksgiving hosting. And we went there and we had a little talk what Thanksgiving was about. And there were two women students from China. It turned out that one of them had the exact same birthday and year as my own daughter. And so I invited her to our home for Thanksgiving. And we have stayed in touch all these years, no matter if she lives in China or in Chicago or wherever. And it's been 20 years. So thank you, Glenn, for matching us with that, my wonderful Ling Wang.
We're talking about making friends and sharing the gospel and the gift of hospitality, all that and more, as we talk about ministry to international students today. We have a room full of guests. We'll reintroduce them right after this break. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe tell us your story, you can call us at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Thing is that as we start out the program talking about, you know, as you go to tell the good news. But the fact is that God has he's not going to wait for us to go. He's brought the world to us. And we're talking about a great outreach to the international students in our midst, of which there are many, and getting some great insight today from Kathleen and Barbara and and Tim and Glenn. And in fact, we'll give maybe a couple of Connect websites here toward the end of the show, so we can get you started if you're interested. I want to maybe pick up from our conversation just after the break. By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 877-933-2484. Maybe you've been a host family, you've been involved. Love to just hear your story. If you have a question about how to get one started, how to get something started in your community, we can address that as well. 877-93-FAITH. I think Glenn, or maybe Tim, you were talking a little bit about, you know, that first week often so important, and it reminded me that timing is probably key here, isn't it? When students first come, so I'm thinking like probably fall when the new school year begins. Is that a kind of a key time? Or?
Yeah, the initial hosting is really important, and we had an example of this with one of our host students, our family. His name is Nick, and a dear guy. He's an undergraduate and very social, very outgoing, and he stayed with us just for about a week and a half, and then he was out looking for an apartment. And there was a party house, clearly a party house, beer cans everywhere, trashed, and they had a room for rent. And me and my wife thought, we can't let this dear guy go here. And so we got on the phone and frantically called some people from our church, and there was a house, young men who were on the University of Minnesota, and they said, we'll make room for him. And I think how strategic it is to have this dear guy who later got saved, and I had the pleasure of baptizing him. How strategic it was to catch him before he got into a terrible situation, and to be that first face off the airplane. You know, we coordinate airport pickups, mm-hmm. and host families, and to be that sense of family, a sense of home when they land here in the U.S. is very strategic. So August is full. My family, we've hosted 34 Chinese students in the past 3 years, and so we're continually full in our house with international students, giving them a sense of family, a sense of home when they first get here.
Yeah, August is the month for the University of Minnesota when most of the internationals will arrive. And again, if they do have a host family, that leaves a big impact. From a testimony of one student shared this just a couple of weeks ago, he talked about how his host family says, I thought that, how could these people be so nice to a stranger like me? Their hospitality and love towards me were beyond my comprehension. I thought to myself, if there is a God, I definitely would want this God to be like the one my host family believed in, where people were taught to love and care for each other, regardless of where they came from and how much money they had. So again, usually it doesn't lead to often many a person coming to faith right away, but it leads a big mark and impact and put them on a journey of seeking to come to true faith.
Because I'm sure there's an interest in the spiritual climate, or I mean, I think as you said, people come maybe assuming that, well, this is a Christian nation. So mm-hmm. This is what Christianity is like. So for us to have the opportunity to show it as it really is, that's pretty strategic.
As a pastor, it's really exciting to watch a student who's never walked into a church building mm-hmm. before walk into our church. Our church is up, you know, 16 steps. It's an old church. And they open the doors, and there's these stained glass windows and these curved wooden benches, and they just, you can just see they have awe in their expression and excitement. What is this all about?
Not every student is open to going to a church, and that's why it's very important to have the parachurch ministries that reach out to students of all nationalities, races, countries, beliefs. And they're more open to attending activities that may not be associated with the church. But what Americans or others who are in contact with international students can do is you can accompany them. You can invite them. If you know internationals already, invite them to the programs that we have. And by your relationship, you have an opportunity to then give them the experience of inviting them to a church. It may be your church, but Stadium Village Church is an international church, and they would feel very comfortable there, very welcomed, because we understand the international student community.
It usually is very appropriate to invite an international student to come to church with you. Now, if they decline, of course, we respect that, but many of them are interested.
It was interesting. Our very first host student 4 years ago for Thanksgiving, I said what I was thankful for over Thanksgiving, and told her a little bit about my testimony, how I came to faith, and I was thankful for my faith in Christ. And so I turned to her and I said, "So what do you know of Christianity?" And she got a sheepish grin on her face, and she says, "Well, Jesus, he's like Hercules." And I think, "Hercules, did I hear that right? Did I misunderstand something in her accent?" And I said, "Hercules?" And she says, yeah, Hercules. You know, half God, half man. He has some superpower, some strength about making wine. And she was embarrassed how little she knew. And I wept that day thinking of how this is one of the most intelligent people maybe on the face of the earth. And all she knows of the Savior is he knows how to make wine. And I thought, what a shame that, like Ken said earlier, you know, 80 to 85% of these international students will come into the U.S. and they'll go home without ever being invited into an American's home. And all they know of Christ is he knows how to make wine and he has some superpower like Hercules. And so, yeah, it's very strategic to bring in our international students into our home. You don't have to be a genius to mm-hmm. to do that. All you need to do is put an extra handful of noodles on the stove for one extra international student for a dinner.
Which I guess reminded me, you mentioned that, you know, she was embarrassed. So are there some things maybe not to do? And I mean, we want to just share naturally out of our life experience, but are there some things that, you know, don't put someone on the spot? Or, I mean, what things would you say not to do?
I have to say, if you get a student name from one of the organizations we're associated with, they will help you learn what to do and what not to do. So I've been told that sometimes people from Asia don't like to have their head touched. Or I know for sure they like Chinese food better than they like American food, even though we can't understand that. Even though McDonald's does great over there, they still like their own food. And even if we could try to give them a meal, something that they're familiar with, that's always a welcoming experience.
Another thing that's very important is to respect their culture and their beliefs and not to try and force our mm-hmm. beliefs upon them, but just be loving towards them. Love goes a very long way. And if you can speak English, you're a friend to them. Mm-hmm. And they welcome, you're welcome.
Okay. And that would be speak English slowly.
Okay.
Yeah, not necessarily loudly.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Oh, sure. Okay, loudly and slowly are different styles there, aren't they? It's true. You know, you mentioned food, Kathleen. Just, I mean, obviously an important part of hospitality. Are there some things that we should know about, you know, food preparation?
Well, if you have a student from India, you would be sure to ask them if they're vegetarian. Okay. And it's always good if you're inviting any guest, American guest for that matter, if mm-hmm. you say, are there any allergies or things I need to know about your diet?
And some are vegetarians, and Muslims particularly do not eat pork. And so you need to be aware of that and to make sure that you have something that does not contain those kinds of meat or pork.
But again, just common sense, just ask them.
Sure. Okay.
I think there's a lot of fear because the culture is so different between us and Chinese culture or Indian culture. And I think there's a lot of fear that really the devil can gain a foothold in our lives. If you know how to reach out to your neighbor with the love of Christ, you know how to reach out to a Chinese student with the love of Christ. If you know how to be winsome to the barista at a coffee shop, you know how to be loving to a graduate student who's a visitor. If you know how to make a dinner for your in-laws, you know how to make a dinner for an international student. And so I think it's important to say, don't let the devil get mm-hmm. a foothold of fear in your life. There's great opportunity. It's not as hard as it might seem right. with a very different culture.
Right. They want to learn about life here. So feel free to serve American food and things just if there's any restrictions.
One of my mentors told us all you need to do to be a missionary is a dining room table.
Amen.
That's really all you need.
Right. And also remember, they're human beings, and so they have many of the same needs as we have. They have families, they have problems, they have concerns, and if you can be a good listener, they appreciate that, and you can show that you care about what they care about. It's very important to them.
Just, everyday, common, ordinary life, sharing life together.
And absolutely. As far as programs for the students, we had in the summertime, we do tours around the Twin Cities. And when I was involved in this, I would say to my cohort, who was a 75-year-old driver of a very fast Cadillac car, I mean, she loved to drive fast. I'd say, Lillian, where do you want to go next week? And we just went where we wanted to go. For them, everything was new. And it was exciting for us to visit places, to take the time to see our cities and enjoy each other's company as we walk along a path. It's a great time. The other thing I want to mention is that often when you have one student, that's when you really can get into deep conversations. I think sometimes if there's two or three, they don't want to say too much about themselves. They don't want to ask a question that might make them look stupid. But with one, it's wonderful.
So is a one-on-one generally a better way to just develop, or do you want to get them involved in some group activities? So if your church, for example, at Stadium Village is doing something.
It's a both and.
Okay.
You want to have a mixture of both. It will be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to break down some of the stereotypes that the international students have of Americans. It's good to have some group activities that they can come with their friends. I know we all have different activities that we do that are more outreach-based that build a comfort level with the international students and Americans, going to apple picking, coming over for Thanksgiving, going shopping. Everyone loves to shop. It's an international language. And there is a very strategic way that you utilize those events. But it's so that you can build a one-on-one relationship.
And actually, pets and young children in the home can break down barriers. Now, some international students are very afraid of dogs, for example.
Big dogs.
Yeah.
So am I.
I was afraid of the lady driving fast in her Cadillac.
But having young children, you know, they can talk easier to them, and the languages may be simpler. But playing games also breaks down barriers. So this Thanksgiving, we had international students with us, and we played a raucous kind of game where we call it celebrities. And it just broke down walls. Everybody was yelling. It was just great.
Tim, I want to follow up. You talked about, you know, strategic things you can do, shopping or whatever it is. But so how do we make sure that this isn't a project or a target? We do want to be intentional in our relationship development, but not be, you know, not go beyond that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's a question of the heart that you always need to be checking yourself on. I think that's whether it's international students or your next door neighbor. Are you friends with your next door neighbor because you want to see their life changed? I think there's some truth and some value in that, understanding what the gospel brings in our life and understanding that those without Christ need Christ. If you don't love someone, if you don't truly love someone, they know. And that's your next door neighbor, or whether that's someone that God brings from the other side of the world. And so I think a good way to test your heart is to see, do I love this person? And if they don't accept what I am telling them of my faith, will I still love them? If they don't like my home-cooked meal because they don't like American food, will I still love them? And a true sign of keeping someone from becoming a project in my life is, are you sacrificially giving of your life, not for something in return, the same way Christ loved us? It wasn't just to get something from us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're showing that same sort of sacrificial love, I think it keeps your heart and your relationships from becoming very project oriented.
Let's take a quick break and come back with more, talking with Tim Grunditz. Tim is Executive Director of Hospitality Center for Chinese. We also have Glenn Kanagian, who is the Director of China Outreach Ministry out of the University of Minnesota. Barbara Federepo is a teacher and speaker, and she serves as Outreach Director for Connections International, also part of Stadium Village Church. Kathleen McCosco is a pastor at Stadium Village Church, joining us today here on Connecting Faith. We're talking about international student outreach. And we'll just share a few stories here coming up after this break. And if you have a story to share, you're welcome to call us as well at 877-93-FAITH. talking about showing love to our neighbor, and God has brought the world to our neighborhood. Talking about reaching out to international students today, and we have a panel of guests who are all doing that and passionate about it, and hope that you've caught some of that just in our conversation today. Want to make sure that we give you opportunity to say how you could get something like this going in your community, in your family, in your life. Barbara, maybe we just start with you about, you know, some of the ways, I mean, what you really need in terms of you know, what people listening right now have to offer, and they maybe don't even realize it.
Yes. Connections International is an organization where we're reaching out to students with hospitality and welcome, and we need the help of families from churches, Christians all over, to serve with us in some capacity as volunteers. You have gifts that God wants to use, and you can use them in ministry, in a ministry like this. We need classroom teachers because we specialize in teaching ESL classes as a welcome for students who need this kind of help. So we need assistance. You don't need to be the main teacher, but you can assist. If you have a gift of teaching, encouragement, we welcome you. Also, we need host families, as you've heard us speak about, and you may have the gifts of hospitality and mercy. Conversation partners, we said, one-on-one in small groups, encouragement, listening. We need drivers. We need people. Some of the best conversations that go on in cars. So we always need drivers that are going. Local trips, airport pickup, serving, organizing would be gifts that you could use for that. Also, meals. One of the open ways of inviting students, everybody likes food. And so our ministry is very much focused on a lot of eating. And so we need people to help prepare the meals, people to come to volunteer from churches, small groups, ministry, others can come in and help prepare the meals, help serve the meals for the big group opportunities that we offer. So if you have a gift of helping, serving, hospitalities, please help in that way. Prayers. We need prayers. Nothing moves in the hearts of students without the backing of prayers. So if you have a gift of prayer and evangelism, please, please be involved in our ministries. And very importantly, nothing goes on without money. We need financial partners to support our ministries. So if you have the gifts of generosity and mercy, please get in touch with us to tell you how you can help financially in our ministries.
State and Village Church next semester will be hosting the Alpha Course for Chinese people, and we are always looking for people who could prepare a meal for them and be there. Of course, we always have some fun event going on with an Alpha Course as well, and if you enjoy doing games, that would be a good way to volunteer.
I'm thinking that there are, you know, obviously people listening all across the Upper Midwest, but could we use Stadium Village Church as sort of maybe a first place to check if we're not sure about a ministry in our community?
Absolutely. We've put onto our front page of our website the names of different ministries to international students. So if you go to stadiumvillagechurch.org, you will find on that front page a list of contacts for wherever you are or what might strike you. Ask the Lord to show you whom to call.
China Outreach Ministries is a national organization on about 50 campuses and some other in the Midwest. You go to chinaoutreach.org to see a list there.
Okay.
We have some connections in the region with some other universities. I know in Grand Forks and in Fargo, both, there are a large number of international students. And I know you have listeners there that we would love to get individuals and churches involved in reaching international students. Also in Des Moines and Madison, we have international student groups doing the same thing there. So it's not just the Twin Cities. It's all over. And normally we kind of think of ourselves as flyover country a little bit, but God is bringing from all over the world international students to Grand Forks, to Sioux Falls, to Duluth, to the Twin Cities. And it would be wonderful to get some of the listeners involved in that.
And remember, you will be contacting the leaders, the future leaders of their country. So when Ho Chi Minh worked in America, he was quite turned off by Americans. And when Anwar Sadat came here, he was adopted by an American host family, and our relationships with Egypt radically improved when he took over power.
Involvement with Connections International is pretty much very local and in the area of the Twin Cities. We also help students who are in the family housing areas. And if you would like to teach or be a conversation partner or a friendship partner, you can contact us through the website of www.connectionsinternational. That's Connections with an X, C-O-N-N-E-X-I-O-N-S, international.org.
And again, all that's on the stadiumvillagechurch.org front page.
Good. Thank you for that. You know, we've got about maybe 5 minutes left. I'm just wondering, maybe each of you, if you just got to highlight something that has maybe meant most to you. I'm thinking, you know, Thanksgiving has passed. We probably missed an opportunity. We can still get plugged in at some way along the way. But maybe just a personal highlight of what it's meant to you to have been engaged in this ministry.
Yeah, like I said before, I've always had a heart for missions. Most of what I've done in ministry in the past 15 years of following the Lord has been me doing ministry, and my family sort of just comes along to do it. And this has been so meaningful in my life to have my 8-year-old, my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old daughters involved in missions. They're little missionaries in ways that I can't be. I'm not cute, right? And when my international students come in the door and they see my cute little girls and they see how I love my wife, we get to do missions as a family in a way that we could never do before. We could engage in the Great Commission, bring in the gospel to the whole world as a family. And so for me, it's a privilege to be a part of international student ministry, to be a part of showing the love of Christ to those who've never heard it before. And my 8-year-old, she does Bible studies with our host students. And so one of the highlights for me is doing it as a family.
Good. Glenn, how about you?
Yeah, I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And I particularly focus with the Chinese students. A couple of reasons. One, they are the largest student group here, international student group in America. Plus, they're probably the most receptive. David Aikman, who was a senior correspondent for Time magazine, said, I think that reaching out to students from the People's Republic of China and the U.S. is simply the most strategically important Christian missionary endeavor anywhere in the world. It's just an incredible opportunity that we have here. You know, also, you know, China is about 1.4 billion, about 1 in 5 babies born in the world are Chinese. So if you have 5 children, odds are one of them will be Chinese.
Good point.
For our family, when our 4 children left home, we decided to move to the University of Minnesota closer. And somebody came to us, I wasn't looking, and said, would you like to buy my duplex? So we moved in, there were 10 bedrooms, and we became an international house, a house for international students. And part of that is eating together every week or every other week and just being involved in their lives and, you know, being there for them. It's really a highlight of our lives.
I came in, and became involved with international student ministry through my husband, who's from Nigeria. And after living 10 years in Rhode Island, we moved to Nigeria for 12 years, and I raised my children there. And so I was an international student, an international spouse there. And when we returned to Minnesota in 1996 for my son to go to college, I said, God, what would you have me do? And he told me he had already prepared me for this ministry of international students. I have a particular heart for African students because they're very different from other students and have different needs. And so together with African Christian Fellowship in the Twin Cities, we try and look for those students and help them in any way that we can.
Also, if you live over near Hamlin, there's a new ministry center at Knox, the former Knox Presbyterian Church. It's called Knox International Center, and they're always looking for volunteers to help build and remodel or just be there for the students.
I could, too, just mention our local website where we have resources. It's comumn.org.
All right. You can find some links. Maybe the easiest we'll just give the stadiumvillagechurch.org website as a maybe first call, and I hope that you make that call and make a connection and see lives change. And you can also go to myfaithradio.com. We'll have those posted up here as well. Had a great conversation, Kathleen, Barbara, Tim, and Glenn. Thank you each for all that you're doing, and glad to have you listening and joining us today.
Thanks.
You're listening to Connecting Faith. You can always check the podcast online at myfaithradio.com and go to Connecting Faith.